Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe that you are a hater, and it's the time for us to do an interview. And we got one of my all-time favorites in place right here from New Orleans, Louisiana. Juvenile, what's going on, man?
What it do, man?
Dope, man. It's good to see you, man.
Same here, man.
Yeah, man. I think it was funny. We had you on Highly Questionable one time, and yeah. I noticed as I was talking to you, you were looking at me like, oh, wait, you actually know this catalog.
Yeah, you know what you're talking about. That's when I knew you was from, you had to be from close from the area somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm from Houston. My dad's from Louisiana. You know, they all went to Southern, all that stuff.
Oh,
so.
Okay, yeah.
Now, you being from New Orleans, since we have you here, I mentioned it just a second ago, man. Are you guys okay? Because that whole thing with not going to the Super Bowl seemed to cause y'all big problems. Oh, I want to make sure y'all are cool, man.
I'm hurting, man. I'm still, I had the ref shirts on, forget the ref, you know. And with the other word on there, I'm still hurt, man. I'm still hurt. Hopefully something good come out of it. Like they changed the rules up or something.
So like you were like a big fan or just kind of like, yo, it's the hometown.
I was there, man.
Are you serious?
I was there, man. talk about the air out of building, man. It went from happiness to just bad, man.
Well, like, what was the parking lot like? Cause I was at the Super Bowl 2 weeks later and y'all were there.
Yeah.
Like so many cats had bought tickets and they were like, nah, man, we coming. And they showed up and they were still salty.
Yeah, they was there in bad spirit.
You know?
Yeah. But, what happened when we left out the Super, it was still sour, man. It was cursing and yelling and everybody was mad leaving out. But the following week they threw a big Super Bowl party,
mm-hmm.
you know, for like, parade and everything in the city, and the whole city came out in the French Quarter. So it turned out to be something good in its own way.
Well, y'all gonna find a reason to party.
We wind up raising some money, you know, raising some money for charity. So it turned out to be good.
Oh, plus, y'all gonna find a reason to party, right?
Come on. You know we was gonna party for something.
No matter
y'all
what
took
it is.
A Super Bowl parade away from us. We gotta do something.
Let me ask this, because you live in Houston now, right?
No, I live in New Orleans.
I thought you had made the move to Houston.
I was backwards and forth.
What's your favorite thing about New Orleans? Because New Orleans to me is one of those places that, like, I describe it this way, is that depending on your perspective, you would say it would be awful except that it's awesome. Or it could go the other way around depending on how you see it.
Yeah, we have some people had bad experiences in New Orleans, you know, Tracy McGrady.
Yeah,
he hate New Orleans. So it could be good, it could be bad. But my favorite thing about New Orleans, it got to be the food, man. You know, I travel everywhere else, just nothing like the food in New Orleans.
Yeah, I explain that to people that everywhere in New Orleans has good food. Like the casino has good food
because
you can't survive anywhere in New Orleans because that's what we're coming for. We're coming for food.
Exactly. And I mean, it's the obesity capital. So you already know it's going down.
That is, you know, it's not just that the food. Yeah, you're right. The food is good. And then y'all are not concerned with any of these new fancy diets that anybody's coming around with.
Nah, we not. And I'm sad to say, you know, it's a lot of diabetes rolling through the city, but the food is crazy.
Now, have you been to France?
I never been.
I went to France a couple of years ago for work, and that was like the first time that New Orleans truly made sense. Because like New Orleans is so different from everywhere else. And then I went to Paris, and I was like, oh, okay, this is where
from. Replica, kind of like a little replica of France.
And they eating good, too. Like, it's to say, they eating good, you know, get to work, don't get to work. Not so worried about, in a hurry to do anything else.
Kind of crazy, you know, New Orleans being a little miniature French city and me not ever going there. I kind of feel like I know a lot about
already. You got to do it.
I got to,
The other thing about France that's interesting is that when you go to France, and it's a weird thing, especially for black people, like I see all the writers and stuff went over there because when we get there, they actually view us as Americans as opposed to like simply being black people.
Okay.
Like it's a whole different spin on the way you get treated, but food's good. It's that same kind of like y'all and they have both figured out, man, we try to kick it, right? They figured out how to find the fun.
Yeah.
And whatever is going on.
Oh, so they just like New Orleans?
Yes.
Oh, man, I gotta go.
Oh, no, telling you. You will go and you just be like, dude, I would never have imagined that I'd have this much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Just being over
there.
Well,
it's on my bucket list. So I'm definitely going.
There we go, man. Now, we got you here in part because you and Birdman have got a project. And I asked you 10 years ago if I would have told you that you and Birdman were doing an album. Could you have seen it coming?
Probably not, you know, because we were two different directions then. You know, 10 years ago, I was doing the UTP thing, so I don't think I would have been doing an album probably with nobody else but Skip and Wacko. But, I don't think it would have happened. But now that it is happening, I think it's a great project. And when you hear it, it's going to trip you out the fact that we didn't do the new. We kind of stayed in our era with the music. So it's kind of crazy. And we don't have Manny Fresh doing the beats.
Well, how did this project come together?
Man, I guess bumping heads so many times, you know, seeing him out a lot, you know, going backwards and forth to Miami, kicking it in the studio, started doing songs. It winded up not with an intention of saying we're going to do an album together. We just did like 3 or 4 songs and listened to them and said, let's just keep going. See what happens. And this happened.
You see, part of why that's interesting to me is Birdman's made music, but I think of him as a businessman first. Like, I don't think of him as the cat that's like, yo, let's go get together and let's make some music and see how it goes. And, you know, so it's like, is the music in him like that, or is the music like something to do?
See, back in the days when we actually got in the studio, I felt like I bought something different out of him. You know, I think, you know, everybody else, when he get in the studio with them, it's more, they don't pass their opinion like I will. You know, when I get in the studio with him, I'm passing my opinion. I'm telling them exactly what I like and what I don't like. And I think that works great together with him, you know, cause that's what he want. He don't want somebody to come in there and yes, man. He wants you to come in there and tell him, hey man, you could do that better than that or do this better than that. And, I think that's what makes this project special, cause I'm pushing the envelope with him.
He's one of those dudes that when he says, tell me what I can do better, he actually means it. Cause you know how this goes with cats. They like want you to hear their music and then you hear it and they just want you to tell you how dope it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some cats, man, and you know, not to knock anyone, but some cats just don't want to be that person to say something bad. Like, man, look, I might lose my job. I was, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna stay on the good side. So me, I'd rather take that risk cause I want the project to be perfect. So if I'm gonna rub you the wrong way or saying something's gonna rub you the wrong way, sorry, but I'm gonna say it.
Now, you said you guys are kind of staying in the older lane on this one. Now, was that something that just kind of happened, or was that what you were going in?
It kind of happened, and that's kind of why we don't have Manny Fresh doing none of the beats on the album. Not to have a knock on him. We just had one producer working in the beginning, and it started going in this direction, and we said, you know what? We're gonna have to keep him to keep this sound going. And it turned out to be a good project, man. It's a lot of old school beats. We don't have, like, it's nothing like the music I'm hearing today.
Now, is that a freedom that comes from being older, where you don't feel like you got to jump on whatever the wave is?
A little bit, knowing your fan base, because actually I'm always doing tours, so I'm still connected to my fan base. And just wanting to do something different, you know, push the envelope in a different direction.
Yeah, because like when you said that you were going to do something older, that immediately made me think of that Reality Check record, which was the one that came out right after Katrina.
Yeah.
Where I was like, the thing that hit me when I listened to it at first, I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is like some older, like the one thing about New Orleans, if it was hot in 1978, it's going to be hot forever. Like, you ain't got to get off the style that's what it was going to be. And that was my first thought when I heard that record. I was like, okay, so this is going back. This is almost like a love letter, right? Like, this is something that's going back to a different time while still being where we are right now. So like thematically, with the new one, is the subject matter kind of going old also?
I think we kind of like here with the subject matter, but the music is kind of, I mean, we sampled Betty Wright, sampled the OJs, you know, stuff like that. And we didn't do the tongue twisting thing to rap the way the new cats rap. We rapped the older way, you know, so that's what I'm saying. We kind of stayed in our era and stuck to our fan base.
So, like, with the project, like, do you, at this point, like, what's your goal when you put out an album at this point? Because you've done whatever there is to do, right?
I just want to re-energize my old fans and probably get some new ones, you know? But I really want to, you know, I really want to prove something, not just to me, to my kids, too. Because, you know, it's kind of like, and I know you heard this before, it's kind of like, yeah, you did it, Daddy, but 20 years ago, we was kids, dude. Can you do it now while you're older? So it's kind of like proving myself to them, too.
Do they get, like, what a big thing, like, especially, like, 1999 Juvenile? Do they have a grasp of what that means?
They just be saying, everybody's saying you the great, you the GOAT, and all that. I'm like, well, I'm not the GOAT. I'm probably on the list somewhere, you know, with some of the all-time greats, but they don't see it. You know, it's different. So I just want to do it for them right now.
Because I think about, like, when I go places with my dad, like, I didn't realize what a big deal in his world my dad was until he retired. Right?
Exactly.
Then I started going to these retirement ceremonies. I'm like, yo, like, this is, like, oh, okay, you the man around here. I didn't realize that. And I wonder how that goes sometimes because, like, you were everywhere at that time. But if they don't remember that, they still looking at you like, man, my daddy say he used to rap.
Yeah, I my daughter, my youngest, man, she know about the music. She know everything I've done because I'm still traveling and doing shows. But it's still like, when you gonna make some new music? Like, for now, for us, for us to listen to. I'm like, all right, you think your daddy don't have it no more? It's like, I'm not saying you don't have it. Maybe you just can't keep up with everybody else.
Oh.
Maybe you need to say, okay. So now I got to prove myself again.
All right, we'll be back in a minute with more of my interview with Juvenile. But first, a word from Lightstream. The average interest rate on credit card debt is over 18% APR. Whew, that's a lot. Have you looked at your interest rate lately? Refinance your high-interest credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 6.14 APR with AutoPay. The rate is fixed. It'll never go up. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. Even get your money as soon as the day you apply. When you have good credit, you deserve great service and a low-interest fixed-rate loan from Lightstream. That's lending uncomplicated. Want to save even more? My listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Bomani. LightStream.com/Bomani. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Bomani for more. Now, let's take this back a little to 98, though, right? Because, like, for, you know, cats like me, I go back to 97 with Soulja Rag, where that was his,
where
I knew the song, but I didn't know the dude who did it, right? Like, so he played the song, I knew it, and then Ha came out, and I was like, oh, okay, that's the cat who did Soulja Rag. Now, like, when y'all recorded, I mean, doing 400 Degrees, did you have an understanding or a thought that, like, this is, I contend that album changed the game as much as anything else in that time period for, like, Southern mainstream acceptance, right? Yeah. Like, did you know when y'all were doing that this was going to be the thing that changed it?
Nah, like, I can't lie, man. I thought by the Big Timers album came out first when we first got the deal, and it didn't do it, the numbers we thought it would do, you know, it wasn't as successful as we thought it would be. It went gold, but we, you know, we wanted double platinum, stuff like that. And it didn't happen. So I came into 400 Degrees a little nervous and scared, thinking, man, will they accept me? You know, I came to New York 3 or 4 times and people didn't even know who I was. So that was kind of scaring me off a little bit. So when the album actually came out, the reaction I got, I was shocked. To be honest, I was shocked, man. And everybody from Universal was telling me I was going to do good. You know, people at the radio liked it. They played it to different people. They liked it. But you never really know. You never really know.
And then Ha came out. And I remember I was one of those people when that first came out. I was like, I don't really understand, like, what's going on here when I heard it. I couldn't tell. It's like, dude, he's saying the same thing at the end of every line. You know, like, and I was surprised, like, looking back on it, knowing the game a little better, I was kind of surprised that became a single just because it was so much for people to catch up to.
You know what? It was taking a chance. But for me, it was a follow up to Soulja Rags. You know, I did the Soulja Rags song. It was kind of like, I didn't use the same word, but it was the same kind of flowing, the same up tempo, you know, the same talking like the old dude on the corner flow. So I figured if I do that again on the new album, I figured it would be an easy win for me. Not knowing that people, New York and LA, they never heard the song. You never heard Soulja Rags before. So it was kind of taking a chance.
Now, how important was the video in pushing it?
I didn't think that video was going to be like that. You got to remember my first video.
So that was the first one.
Yeah. So I didn't even know how to shoot a video. The guy had to tell me different stuff like stand right here, don't move, because I'd be way out of shot by the time I finish. I'm way over there. They're like, nah, I need you to stay right here on this shot. On this shot, next shot, you can move. You know, all that stuff was just new to me. Shot the video. It took us like 3 or 4 days to shoot that video.
That video, to me, in a lot of ways, like, it to me, is legitimately like one of the greatest rap videos ever made. Because, like, you managed to show, I mean, New Orleans has a startling level of poverty that, like, I think if you found, as you go around the world, you're like, oh, no, ours is a little different than other people's. But there was a humanity to it, right? Like, these actually look like people. It wasn't like you were just out here like, yo, we out here wild. And, like, these were the people and these were the times. And I remember I just watched that and I was like, oh, okay, I kind of get this now. And then I heard the record and I was like, dude, what in the world just happened here? And that was what a lot of us, we were just like, yo, we haven't heard a record like this. Even for me being where I was from, I was like, I have never heard anything that was quite like this.
And it was something that had to grow on you. You had to listen to it more than one time. Cause if you listen to it the first time, most times, and I'm being straight honest, you wouldn't understand nothing. you wouldn't understand it at all. It'd throw you off. I mean, I knew it was confusing, but it was a great song. And it was what made it so creative to me is I played third person. It wasn't about me. It was about you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people also, especially like you talk about coming to New York and people didn't recognize you. Like this is the 90s when it was still tough for Southern cats to come to New York and get respect or anything like that. I had in a lot of ways to, and it sounds weird now, like, I had to come around to the idea, like, listening, like, no, this dude is really rapping, right? Because what they used to say then is the cats who were rapping were the dudes from New York, right? Everybody had songs, but they wasn't, like, really rapping. And then we were going through, and it was like, no, man, this dude is on here snapping.
Yeah. And you know what? I was a backpacker. And when I first came, I did a New York, I did an interview up here. I told him, I said, you know, I don't think a lot of New York artists realize that I'm really a backpacker. Like, I really listen to Nas and, you know, I'm listening to all the rappers. I'm really a rapper. I just did that because I wanted to be different. So, you know, and over the years, they start realizing that I'm somebody that like to set trends and just go a whole different direction. Because if you listen to me from single to single, I'm totally different.
Well, I also think that's the thing about New Orleans that gets lost. New Orleans is like a hip hop city, right? Yeah. Like two turntables, microphone and stuff like that. Y'all are all over the place in terms of what y'all are listening to. Like I had a dude in my dorm in college and he came in there talking to me about Gangstar one time. And I was like, wait a minute. Y'all listen to Gangstar down there? And he was like, oh yeah. Like there's no telling what y'all might be into at a given
bit
point
of everything.
In time.
Gumbo.
Yeah. How hard was it to explain to these cats though? Like, nah, really, I'm rapping. Like, this is what I'm about.
It was hard, man. It was hard, especially coming after No Limit. Not to put a knock on No Limit, because Mystical was off the chain. Just felt like, you know, lyric wise, they wasn't pushing the envelope for New Orleans or the South. You know, I felt like they didn't really push the envelope. On Come Us, and we pushed the envelope.
And they had a different model too, right? Because it was just, they were pumping out as many records as they possibly could.
And they had, I know what, their marketing strategies was great though, because he would have a bunch of album covers on the back of each tape that came out. So you knew exactly who was coming out next. And then when they came out, they just did good because of familiar, you're seeing a familiar picture all the time.
Yeah. And so then because that starts, then we get to 400 Degrees and then we get to like To Me, which is like in the line of things, the game change when Jay-Z got on that high remix.
That's exactly what happened. But you know, I always tell people that song did a lot for me, but it did just as much for Jay-Z too in the South. Cause we didn't listen to Jay-Z in New Orleans. Not, you know, maybe a couple of the songs on the radio, but cats wasn't really on Jay-Z like that. Not in New Orleans.
Now he made a smart play where like on that 97, we had that line that needed, I got it, that down South Master P, but he's like, oh, okay, so he's halfway down. Then he got on the high remix and you can't that say it, but I can say it. It wasn't exactly his best performance, but it demonstrated that like he was willing to come down here. And then it took you, like it was the ultimate trade-off. It felt like for both sides.
It was. And he did it himself. That's what people in New Orleans like the most is that I didn't have to pay him money or go chase him down and get him to do the song. He did it on his own and sent it to us.
Now, that I didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't have nothing to do. I didn't even know him. You know what I'm saying? He just sent the song down to us, and Universal was losing their mind. You know, Universal was like, yo, Jay-Z, he just freestyled on the song. Like, what song? Huh? We need to put it on the album. So that's where it came about us. Changing the album up, putting Follow Me Now, adding a few songs, taking a few off, and adding Jay-Z to the album.
Yeah, man. Like, it's so wild now. Like, I guess we're, like, 20 years, really, because the album came out in 98, but, like, 99.
Yeah,
you know,
99.
It feels like that was the time where it really jumped off.
It was, because actually, 99 was when he jumped on the remix. Then the back That Thing came out. Follow Me Now came out. It all happened in 99.
Did you ever think that you, like, as you're doing that record, that you would have a song that they'd be playing at family reunions and everything else?
I just was discussing this. I said, man, they play my song at weddings. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? At weddings, like, what's the most song, the song you hear the most at weddings? It used to be Shout, I think.
Yeah.
Like, I took Shout spot. I feel good about that.
Well, also, we at the point now where, you know, when people think about weddings, they're like, well, you know, you gotta play music that your grandmama can listen to. That's always the test with the wedding DJ.
Yeah.
This, your grandma, you know, your grandmama might be 50, 55 years old and this might be her jam.
Oh, that's definitely her jam. grandma backing it up for real. Like a truck.
No, like Kyrie, you gonna have to bleep this part out, but I'll never get the first time I heard that record and the lie was, you a fine mother. would you back that ass? I was like, oh, okay. So this is what we're doing now. And you can get away with saying this. Yeah. I had no idea.
It was cool. It was how I said it, mm-hmm. you know, like an old dude on the corner when he see one pass.
Yeah,
woo,
that's exactly
my idea.
It.
Like, woo, girl, woo. Yeah.
Now, and so like when you were doing that, was there any concern or thought about like, okay, because this is a dance record, if nothing else, and not everybody was comfortable with the idea, like at the time, if they were like doing hardcore rap to be doing a dance record. Was there any reservation about that?
I came from it. I came from rapping in the clubs. Well, you know, MCing in the clubs, and I wrote DJ Jimmy Where They At.
Yeah.
I did Bounce for the Juvenile. So I came from that kind of music. It was only right for me to make a song like that. I'm not going to ever have an album without a song for the ladies on it.
Yeah, I think people forget that you were kind of like a child star, for lack of a better term, right?
Like 16, from 16 to 19. I got with Cash Money at 21.
Yeah, because like Where They At is, like Where They At and Bounce for the Juvenile, like those songs historically matter. Like they're not just some like novelty thing that happened there. Like this changes the course of what rap music became over the last like 25, 30 years.
That was kind of like the fiber of New Orleans, to be honest. And now, you got cats like Drake coming back, sampling the songs and shooting videos. That makes it even better. I just did a song with G-Eazy and the City Girls, and it's on a Bounce record. So
really?
it's still going.
I had somebody try to explain to me after Nice for What came out. They were trying to explain to me what Bounce was, and I was like, dog, I'm 38 years old, man.
Yeah.
like we've been doing this for a long time now.
Then you from Houston.
Yes.
They can't tell you nothing about that.
No,
like,
no.
Like, yeah, okay, yeah, really?
but part of what's so interesting to me about Bounce is, it's not like there's a lot of change in Bounce over the time, but it almost doesn't matter, right? And you can throw the right Bounce beat over anything. Like that Adele Rolling in the Deep Bounce remix is the one where I was like, oh, okay, so we can just really throw anything on top of it.
You could do anything. I mean, back the thing up. Listen to that. That's straight Bounce. Trigger Man in the background, because that's where we really built it off, the Trigger Man records. And then they started using brown beats and all this other stuff, but as long as you got that boom, 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 that's it.
It just takes me back to like to all these different times and places when I hear this. I remember 400 Degrees, I had made a tape for it and I was playing it in the car, and that was like the summer 99. That was
that's
the song
when it was real, when you made
everywhere.
A tape.
Yes. Yes, we had to make the tape. Like I made the tape, and you remember when they used to put out, like they started making all the different kinds of tapes that did all the stuff. So this was a tape that was supposed to be a bass tape. I was like, yeah, I want all the bass.
Yeah.
I can get in this bad boy. And I had a little knock in the car. I was like, no, this is going to be.
Yeah, you had one of them expensive tapes then.
That's
like
right.
Maxwell.
That's right. That's right. I was like, this was going to be the jam.
Yeah.
And then we ran it, and it ran for like a year. And then G-Code for me is interesting because it might have come out too soon, but I feel like G-Code got jams that people miss.
We should have kept shooting videos for 400. Puff, P. Diddy, I never forget. Puff went off on me. He said, man, you doing another album? You're not putting out no more singles? Like, you crazy. He was just telling like, man, y'all crazy.
Yeah.
He said, man, you got at least three more singles on your album. Shit, the Run For It song, he was saying, you need to put that out. 400 Degrees, put that out. The Ghetto Children. And I agreed with him. I said, man, you know what? You're right, but I'm not in a position to say what album comes out or what song comes out next. That's not my job.
It's kind of wild to me to think that like Puff was on it like that. Cause again, at that time, you wouldn't think of like the New York cats being as on it and in tune to it. To be like, no, you got more singles coming here.
He was on it, bro. And matter of fact, I met him when he told me that was in Houston. He had a party in Houston, and I drove down there to kick it with him. And that's the night he told me that, like, man, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, man, look, the album is done. It's coming out.
It's like, I don't work in that department.
Idea not. It's coming.
So, like, in that time period, was there anybody that came up to you where you were like, yo, that dude, like, he listens to what I'm doing?
Well, it wasn't that dude. It was that lady, and it was Patti LaBelle.
Really?
Yeah, and she walked up to me, and she said, I don't like all the other songs with the curses and all that, but I had to buy the album to get the song, to get back that ass up, right? And she said, that song is my inspiration. That's what I work out to. So I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
My daddy was about to faint out there. He said, Miss LaBelle, can I take another picture with you, Miss LaBelle? He took like two or three pictures with her, and I think he got them pictures right now in his living room, his house.
Dude, you owed it to him. I wish I could have played back that ass up for so Patty could have dropped it and he would have had everything he ever dreamed of.
If I see Patty drop it, I lose my mind.
And it really is, though. Like, we talked about them playing it at weddings now, but this is wild. Like, this is a, like, cultural staple at this point. Like, I was thinking once about, like, Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe, right?
Yeah, Poison.
And when you look back on that now, that is now, like, I'm trying to think of a good example, like, Superstition, right? Like, one of those songs that'll play forever and you go to any room and everybody jams it. And then Poison kind of became that. When you look back, like, no, this is like a American classic that we will play for the rest of our lives. And then Back That Ass Up is, like, the next one.
Yeah. Poison, man. Poison was super big.
Yep, they played
everybody,
it anyway.
Everybody tried to dance.
I tell you, if you're the wedding DJ, you put Poison in Back That Ass
everybody
Up, back
to back. Everybody gonna try to dance, yeah. There's certain songs that do that, man. You're right.
Yeah, man. So, like, looking back at that time, I always wonder, because, like, I went back and listened to 400 Degrees, actually not that long ago, and I was like, yo, this is really jamming. And then I was also like, man, there's a lot of stuff on here I don't know if I'm gonna say out loud ever again. Like, like Juvenile on Fire was the anthem back then, and now it's like, hey, I'm not sure.
It was rough. It was rough. And you know what's crazy? I don't even think that way. I wouldn't say that right now. At the age I'm at with the kids, it's hard for me to go back to there.
Yeah, I always wonder what that's like, you know, cause you are documenting yourself in your early 20s and then to go back and look at it. I talked to some guys and they'll just be like, no, I got no regrets. I got no problem with anything I ever done. You know, it's just what
it was. I don't have no regrets because you learn from your mistakes, but I probably won't do a song or music like that anymore.
Yeah.
Now,
how's it go when your kids come across those records?
Interesting. My oldest son, he sang them. He locked in him. He put the camouflage rag on his neck. I said, so you're reliving my past, huh?
Okay. That's gotta be interesting to watch though, right?
I mean, yeah, it's funny. It's funny.
I also wonder too, like, what's it like for you, you know, like raising kids who, I mean, they're growing up under different situations than you did, right? Like, they're not growing up in the Magnolia and things like that. I actually got not lost in the Magnolia once, but I accidentally wound up in the Magnolia in 99, in fact.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it was time to get out, man.
Yeah.
it was time to turn around. We were looking for Dookie Chase, because Dookie Chase is over there by Magnolia, right?
Yeah.
So we were looking for Dookie Chase, and we got over there, and then something happened, and we were rolling. I'm like, yo, this looks eerily familiar, but I don't know why. And then I heard, you a paper chaser. I was like, hey, man, we got rolled up.
Yeah, you're in the wrong area, man. Yeah. And they don't take too good to strangers, man. They ask you a million questions. Hey, where you from?
Yeah.
You ain't from around here.
Well, that's what my brother said, because my brother went to Southern and spent a little too much time in places he probably shouldn't have been. And he was like, you know, you go to Chicago, you can go to Robert Taylor, you go to one of those projects, and if you got a name, you throw a name out, you good. He said, that doesn't work so well in New Orleans. Like, you need much more of an explanation as to what your purpose is.
They're going to ask you a bunch of questions, a series of questions. You got to ask them. What's crazy is they treat tourists good. They treat tourists real well. If you just say you're from somewhere else, they'll treat you well. They'd be so interested. They'd be more interested on you knowing about us.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you say, I'm from New York, they'll go out their way to show you how good our city is because they want you to know about us.
Right.
But if you're from somewhere like Baton Rouge or somewhere like from the state and you're in New Orleans, and it's the same way if you're from New Orleans and Baton Rouge, they'll try you.
Yeah,
they'll try you. Ask Boosie, you know, they it's the same way when you go to Baton Rouge. Them cats in Baton Rouge, you go out there and you wind up in the wrong area, they'll get you.
Yeah, I actually have a cousin that went to Southern and they almost robbed him for a 20-piece box of Popeyes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Sized him up from the counter and chased him all the way down the street.
Baton Rouge is the capital of the state, but it's not soft.
No. Soft. Actually, I slept in the car in my uncle's driveway once in 01.
You used to be wilding.
No, but I was thinking it was it was pre-cell phone era, so it was like too late for me to go knock on the door.
Oh.
And I talked to my brother. My brother's like, that's the dumbest shit you've ever done in your life. I was like, you're right, my bad. I just didn't want to disturb him. And he was like, nah, you was about to get disturbed. Skylarville right over there.
You. You was about Skylarville?
Yeah. It wasn't my wisest move.
Yeah, that was not wise at all.
I wasn't sleeping hard, though. I was just kind of like, okay.
And that's
just
the real criminals. That's the young criminals who still trying to do things, you know. That's the worst criminals in the state, Skylarville.
But New Orleans, what's New Orleans like for you now? Because, I mean, it's been a lot of change the last 15 years.
Right now, man, I can honestly say it's kind of like, I'm like a museum in the city. You know, people kind of flock to me. Now, anywhere I'm at, I'm constantly taking pictures with, and not just taking pictures with older people. Most people bring their kids up to me and say, hey, take a picture with my kid. Kid don't even know who I am, but they like, nah, take a picture with him. You need to take a picture with him. When you get older, you're going to know who he are, who he is. So take a picture with him. So it's kind of like, for me, I'm more like a museum, and they got murals on the wall all around the city of me. So kind of crazy.
How's the old music play with the kids now?
Some of them like it. Some of them just don't understand it. But some, you know, my kids in particular, they do like 400 Degrees, Back the Thing Up, Slow Motion. They like the songs they played on the radio. They like those songs. But most kids that I run into, they always say my mom like you. It don't be too, oh, my dad like you. You know, it's always their parents, not them.
Right. So, like, what's the sound of New Orleans now on hip-hop? Because I guess I was thinking more and more, and, like, outside of Currency, I don't have too many, like, New Orleans cats I can think of.
We kind of, like, listening to the same thing y'all listening to. That same thing they listening to in New York on the radio. You know, it's kind of like, it's more universal now than ever. It's not, because back in the days, it was a lot of bounce. That's pretty much all we was listening to, just our music. But now I think it'll open up a whole lot.
Now, is that a good thing, though? Like, because the one thing I used to love about rap, I think we forget about, is that, like, every city had its own thing, and, like, there's a value in getting the stuff in from other places, but there was also a value from, like, having your own sort of thing. Like, I think of that with Houston now, where Houston, it still got its own sound and style, but it used to be like, yo, you hear something, you instantly knew, this is Houston. It ain't listening to nothing else in Houston.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all Houston back in the day, but now I think we're living in a day where the radio stations are ran differently. So the local cats that work at these radio stations don't have the power that they used to have to play what they want to play freely. Mm-hmm. And they have to just play the program, whatever, you know, was programmed into their system. So, it's like that all across the country. I think we all, instead of us listening to, if you want to listen to local music, you got to really go to the club.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, radio station, generally going to play the same music they play everywhere else.
Yeah, because I wonder with New Orleans in particular, because New Orleans is so insular and so about, like, cats in New Orleans don't know nothing about Slidell, right? Like, it's like what's going on in New Orleans is like the one place. But again, there's a charm that comes from that. Yeah. And there's a benefit that comes out of, like, this is what we do.
Yeah, I think it's part of that. We have our own version of Southern hospitality. Mm-hmm. Ours is, you know, you don't have to know a person to be nice to them or be kind to them. You know, you ain't spending the night with them or nothing.
Right.
So we don't walk past people without saying hello or how you doing, ma'am. Or that's just a New Orleans thing. And like I said, we greet people with food. You know, our way of showing you our respect and is food.
Now, what did you grow up listening to?
Everything. I can't, cause I always try to pinpoint what I like the most. You know, of course I like the LL Cool J's and Rakim, and, you know, I like Melly Mel, you know, I've been listening to rap since the beginning, so it's pretty much nothing I ain't hear. So whoever's popping,
right.
You know, right now I like Drake, I like Meek, I like, Kendrick Lamar, I like all the A-list cats. I listen to everybody.
I like hearing you talk about LL. Like, I feel like the hardest thing in the world is to explain to kids now, like, no, actually, this was, like, the dopest dude.
You know what's hard for me? To explain Ice Cube.
Yeah.
That's what's hard. Because I'm like, listen, man. Back in my day, Ice Cube was the hardest cat walking. I mean, like, I say he didn't even used to smile, man. If you saw a picture of Ice Cube smiling, I wouldn't believe you. You know, I'm telling him, he's like, the dude who be acting? Like,
right.
Like, serious? The Friday dude? Like, yeah, the Friday dude. Like, he was the gangster. I said, listen, he was the hardest rapper walking. Like, he was the man. I'm telling them about Scarface. They don't even know. Scarface on tour with me now. A couple cats was the other day was in the lobby. They was talking to me. They was excited to see me. They walked right past Scarface. They didn't even know who he was. I'm like, bruh. Dude is a legend. Like, man, you ever heard Mind Playing Tricks? Yeah, I know that song. Yeah, that's him.
You know, because he looks so different now. He lost all that weight.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like he's the type that appreciates you walking past him.
Yeah, that guy, I'm going to tell you, he don't like, but that's my guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of the cats I looked up to. You know, everybody have their role model. Well, Scarface and Ice Cube was the two for me. That's who I like the most. So when I see him, I guess I look at him different than everybody else.
I talked to Scarface one time in my life. They sent me, I was working at ESPN at the time. They sent me to the Screw Shop. Bun was doing a video shoot, did the first video off that Trill record, the Draped Out joint.
Okay.
And I need to talk to people and get some quotes, and then it's Scarface, right? And it's like, okay, like, am I really about to walk up here to talk to Scarface? I think you might know my man, Matt So Real, out of Houston. I got Matt to go, like, introduce me. Dude, I was looking across. Scarface had a visor on backwards and a polo, and he had just cracked open a pack of Marlboro Lights, and him and his partners was, like, tossing cigarettes across the parking lot to each other. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to go talk to Scarface. Like, there are very few people I've ever been, like, shook to go approach, because he's that guy, right? Like, I go back now and I listen to Scarface records. I'm like, I don't think people really appreciate, like, how sophisticated all of this was.
Man, listen, we, two nights ago, we were singing, Minute to Pray and Second to Die. Then we were singing, what's the name of the song? I forgot the hook, but it's when the one of you say, he say, when he knock on the door and shot the dude for killing his brother.
Yeah.
That one. we was listening to that. I'm saying, man, Scarface used to go into detail some of the stuff he used to say. And people, I don't think people really appreciate the lyrics. Cause man, dude was a real lyricist, bro. I'm talking about, he used to go in content, and some of the stuff he said was some of the best stuff I ever heard. And the music was crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, the dude did a song where they named two DEA agents by name and they had to pull them off the street.
Oh, no, I ain't know that.
Look into my eyes.
I ain't know you did that.
Yeah, that's the most gangster record ever made.
Yeah, that's got to be. Right? That's got to be. He got my vote. I ain't even know that.
Call him. Two of them, like, literally, like, first and last day.
Well, I'm going to see him Friday and bring that up.
And it's wild. In his book, he said he doesn't even remember making that record. Like, the whole album. He's just like, he was getting high and listening to Van Morrison.
He said in that era, he was getting high.
It was actually disappointing when I read that part in the book, because that's like, Last of a Dying Breed is like one of my, like, yo, y'all don't know, this was so dope. And I was like, I can't wait to hear what he was going through.
I like the fix.
I love the fix.
I like the fix too. I was mad the fix didn't do good, bro. I wanted the fix to do good. I went to his release party when Jay-Z had Beyonce sitting on his lap and I almost fainted. I walked down the steps and saw that. I was like, man, I should have even came to this party, man. that's when jealousy really kicked in. A New York dude?
Yeah, you're looking at that like, telling me I had a chance.
The truth came, I knew I didn't have a chance. I never even tried to holler, but I just, you know how it go, man.
Yeah.
You don't want nobody from your hood talking to nobody else, man. Come on, let's keep it real, girl. Keep it real, sir. Like, so you ain't like us? We was good enough for you? Nah, but it's all love, man. But I saw them at the party. I was at his party, man. It was a real good party. I thought he was going to blow.
Yeah.
I thought the album was going to do
that. You know, it's wild, though, because it's one that everybody loves. Like, I've never heard anybody that ever had a bad word to say about the fix. And I listen to fix. I'd be like, I learned from the fix.
Yeah,
like, I think people get a little too ahead of themselves about, you know, getting how deep these records are and everything else. But I'm like, no, I listen to fix. I'm like, all right, so if I make $12, I put $7 away and live off of $5. Okay, cool. I can do that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Scarface.
Scarface got some sense. Homie, boxed and everything. He did a lot, man.
You been out to play golf with him?
No.
I've heard that he won't play golf with people that are going to slow him down.
Oh, I ain't going to play golf with him.
Really?
I'm not good. I'm garbage. My swing is worse than Barker. I'm garbage.
I'm so bad at golf. I want to be good at golf, and I just cannot do it.
But see, get me on a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty good on the game. Now, put me out there, I'm garbage.
Nah, but something tells me that me and you could have a good time playing golf.
Yeah, because we don't
need to be good, and you can kill the time.
I'm gonna take my time. I'm gonna miss the ball in that hole.
Yes, that's it. No, we need to figure out. Next time I'm in New Orleans, I got to bring the bag, and we just got to go out there hit the links.
Let's do it. I'm with it. Let's do it.
Because that is like my brother got me on, like, playing golf. And the only way I can enjoy myself, though, is if I stop caring about being good.
Yeah, that's the big word, the biggest word. Then I tried, my whole thing is I want to shoot in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
If I could do that one time, I'm like, Lord, just one time. I'll retire my clubs.
You'll be doing this forever then, huh?
Yeah.
Like, who got you out there the first time?
We actually, my mom, the first house I got, my mom was on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
So that got me out there. And then Tiger Woods started blowing up.
Yeah.
You know, by Tiger Woods, then I started feeling like, you know what, let me go out there and see what it do. And I started going out there with my friends and stuff like that. But I'm not a big golfer.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back in a minute with more of my interview with Juvenile, but first, a word from Lightstream. The average interest rate on credit card debt is over 18% APR. Whew, that's a lot. Have you looked at your interest rate lately? Refinance your high-interest credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 6.14 APR with AutoPay. The rate is fixed. It'll never go up. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. Even get your money as soon as the day you apply. When you have good credit, you deserve great service and a low-interest fixed-rate loan from Lightstream. That's lending uncomplicated. Want to save even more? My listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Bomani. LightStream.com/Bomani. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Bomani for more. So, all of this, man, where do you see yourself going with this now, man?
What? I don't know. You talking about the music?
Music-wise.
I see myself doing a solo album after we finish with this. My whole goal is to do at least two more albums and really call it quits.
Did you ever think that you would be at this age and still rapping? Because, you know, back in the day, like, rap hadn't been around long enough to have rappers at this age.
Nah. I didn't think a record company would want to take a risk on me at this age, because you got to look at it two ways. They taking a risk too, you know. Could be a loss. You never know. I ain't been out in what, 10 years. Has it
been that long?
It's been about that long.
Because what was the last project before this one?
Yeah, about 10 years. Major project. Everything else was like a mixtape, stuff like that. But yeah, major project at least.
So in that in-between time, like, other than doing, like, mixtapes and stuff like that, so, like, what were you doing? Because, I mean, if your job is being a rapper,
but
and
we
you
got a
rapping.
Couple clothing stores, we got an appliance business in St. Louis, so I'm doing other things.
Now, how'd that come
I'm
about?
Always doing shows. That never stops.
Now, how'd you come out with appliance business in St. Louis?
My father-in-law, you know, wanted to start something different, get into another business, and kind of pull me over into that, you know, and now I'm into the clothing business now. My daughter came up here and graduated from LIM and got a degree here. Then she started chasing the whole fashion world. Now she's pulling me into that now.
Now, her graduating from there, what was the pride level for Papa Juvenile at that moment?
I was tripping. And you know, that was her second graduated, because she graduated from Loyola. Mm-hmm. She chose to go to LIM. But it was crazy, man. I came up here and was, you know, as a parent, all you're going to do is brag. So I'm in a place with the flag. We out there making noise. We was the loudest people. You know, we from the hood.
Y'all that guy.
So
oh, y'all are those
we
guys.
We brought the ghetto. We brought that. So I said, did I embarrass you? She said, just a little bit, Daddy. Y'all was clowning. We had whistles and horns.
Oh, yeah. Y'all my favorite people at graduation.
Yeah.
Right?
We the ones who, every time they yell somebody's name, we know our family member, we make a whole lot of noise. That was us.
Well, like I went to college in Atlanta, and I used to always love about those graduations was everybody was so bougie when they got there, but that don't mean they was bougie the day before they got there, right?
So yeah.
You always catch the people whose parents are getting ready to sneak attack all them and tell all what they really,
all their business.
All they really came from. Jug with the pennies in the bottom and just shaking that thing up in the horns. Y'all are my favorite people at graduation.
Yeah, I think I'm one of them.
But no, like, I always wonder with musicians generally, because look, it's up and down business, right? And so
it is a job.
I've got, this is what I do. I come in here 5 days a week, like, it's regimented. And so I just always wonder, like, in those between times, you know, especially as you get farther away from, like, when you first blew, like, what do you decide? Like, what am I going to do today?
Man, I've just been one of the lucky ones. Since Back That Ass Up was so successful, I've done so many shows, it's just no weekends pass me.
Mm-hmm.
If a weekend pass me, it's 2 weeks tops, but, man, I'm always doing shows. I stay on it. Then I'm one of them people who don't give up on you know, promoters. Because, you know, some artists out there, they get out there and they make bad blood with promoters. And then the promoter don't want to book them no more. Well, a lot of promoters like me because I show up on time. I'm always early. I believe in promptness. So that kind of helped me to get to here.
So with the shows now, what are the crowds?
Man, I could show you on the phone if you don't. I can show you. The crowds are crazy, bro. Still the same way. Still like back in the days. I show you when we get out. I'll let you see for yourself. Yeah. It's crazy.
Like, are you one that loves performing live?
That's what it is. I get a kick out of performing, and I don't like to lip sync. You know what I'm saying? I like to sing the songs for real. So that, I think people get a kick out of that. You know, seeing me perform, and just the fact that I'm from New Orleans, I got attitude. So I'm up there with a little attitude.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like, I get people doing the lip sync on TV stuff, but I'm still stunned anytime I come out and I hear people rapping over their own beat, their own voices and stuff.
Yeah, I hate it. And then I get caught some situations where they want to do radio versions, and then when they want to do a radio version show, then I got to do it. You know, but I really hate it. Because it's hard to, it's like you got to rap 10 times louder to be louder than the song. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, damn, the song already perfect. I'm about to scream and people not going to understand if it's me or that. So I just hate doing that.
Now, on your music, how much do you listen to your own music?
Only when I'm doing the concert, rehearsing. Really? Yeah, I don't listen to my own. Well, I listen to my new songs, mm-hmm. the songs that I got with Birdman. I listen to them, but only reason I'm listening to them as much as because I'm seeing where I could have fixed this or where I could go change this and, you know, stuff like that.
Well, I always think about that in part because, like, I realize I love The Wire. And so when I do these interviews with cats on The Wire, it dawned on me. I've watched The Wire 7-8 times. They did The Wire one time 15 years ago, and I'm asking them questions about stuff. They're like, wait a minute, tell me that part again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. You remember it, but they don't remember.
Yeah, because like, it means something different to me because this isn't my job, right? I always wonder, like, cats like you, like, going back through the catalog, like, if you ever had a song that you, like, really loved and you were surprised that the rest of us didn't love it the same way?
400 Degrees. I just feel like I thought that was the biggest song. That's why I named the album. I thought it was going to take off. I thought people, even if they didn't put it out as a single, I thought people was just going to make it a single. And it didn't happen. So.
And see, it's interesting to hear you say that because, like, that one to me hits the way that you talk about it. And I don't know anybody who doesn't love it. And I was like, oh, I guess they just didn't make it a single.
That's the part. Like, I don't know what it took to make it a single. I don't know if people needed to call in or request it. Cause Universal say, we just don't get no input about this song in particular. It's the Back to the Answer record in, huh? That's the only songs. I'm like, really? So nobody don't like this song? So it's something that I still today, I wish that song could come out as a single.
Now, you got one that we all loved and you were like, really? That's y'all jam? Okay.
Yeah. Follow Me Now.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't really like that song. Like, I didn't think it was a single, you know, but just because it had a sample of, I don't even know who it was, some big Latino, that's who the sample was from. Mm-hmm. And they went crazy over it. Me personally, I didn't think it was that hell of a song.
Yeah, the one for me that you did where I was surprised that it didn't catch more was off G Code the Man. I'ma stay thugging. How I came is how I leave.
Oh yeah, yeah, See, that's what I'm saying. That's the songs that they consider them too street. You know, that's when by that moment they started kind of watering me down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not saying Cash Money did it, but you know, Universal wanted that radio song. They wasn't so focused on those type of songs. They wanted the song that could get you straight a million spins in a minute.
Yeah. Did you ever worry at some point there that you might have gotten like a little too big?
I hated the fact that I always felt like I hit my peak with 400 Degrees, you know, and I always felt like, you know, if I didn't do a project as big as 400 Degrees, that's the only thing I'd be remembered for. Yeah. I mean, that's really what's going on now.
And it's one of those things, cause like to me, like quality wise, Reality Check is as good as 400 Degrees, but but it's time and place, right? Like, it's like, how does this come out? Like, how does it resonate with people, you know,
to me, two different companies. I think Atlantic is more like a R&B company, and I think Universal was more hip hop. And I think that's what the problem was with that. You had one company that was more focused on the hip hop and another one that was just focused on R&B type songs.
Right. Cause that's that first run is working with Baby and Slim and then cause their ear for music. I actually feel like it's record executives.
They got the best ears. I give it to them. Like they got to me, far as picking singles and saying, cause man, you hear my third single off this Birdman Juvenile project. I'm telling you, man, you're going to listen to it all day. It's one of them.
Like
all day.
At this point with you and Birdman, like, how would you describe your relationship?
We friends. We got it. I mean, the genuine love is back. We friends. We back because we made it about us being cool, not the music first. Then the music came. And so now it's kind of like we could get in the studio. We can do anything together.
Well, how hard is it just to maintain relationships with people that you work with in the music industry?
You got to have an open mind. You got to have an open mind, and you always got to think like this. What happened 20 years ago, please, you're holding a grudge 20 years. You that's how you want to live. You got to grow up. You know, life goes on. You want to set good examples for your kids. You don't want to be a person that hold grudges against people. So I don't do that. I don't live my life like that.
Now, being down there in Miami, has Wayne come through for any of this stuff?
No, but I got a good relationship with Wayne. You know, so and he got a relationship with Wayne. But Wayne that didn't come through on this project because it was right in the beginning. It was right at the end of his little situation with them. So mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been a good idea to try to get him in the studio anyway.
Time and place, right?
Yep. Just like you said.
All right. That is my man Juvenile. Now, what is the name of the project with Birdman?
Jag. Just Another Gangster.
Okay. Yeah. I realized I got all the way to the end and I forgot to ask the
most important question. That's good. That's how you ended. You ended the right way.
Dude, congratulations, man. Keeping this thing, I mean, really, I think for people, like, especially, like, it seems like, you know, if you listen to stuff on radio, you get it, but being around this industry, to be able to put something out at this point and still have people checking for it, it's not easy to do.
It's not, man. It's not. And I'm glad that I still have a fan base out there and I'm getting a good response.
Yeah, but hey, dude, never get that record sold, what, 4 or 5 million copies? 400 degrees? Yeah. Because that's the thing. You don't want to peak there, but hey, man, if you peak at 5 million, then a 4 or 5 million copy record.
Yeah, that's a good peak. I'd take a million this time.
All right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. My man Kyrie Williams is handling things behind the scenes today. Thank you, sir. Thanks to Juvenile for joining us. His new project with Birdman called Just Another Gangster is available now. Check that out. Thanks to Lightstream for sponsoring today's show. Don't forget to check out the Mina Kimes show featuring Lenny's NFL Draft Month. What a difference a year makes. Last year, Mina wasn't a big fan of Josh Allen, but now she loves him. Kinda. She'll be talking to my man Spencer Hall of SB Nation at EDSBS.com. Also, remember, rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater, and we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.